So let's go to the KRDO Newsline and visit with ABC News correspondent out of Washington, Andy Field, who's joining us right now. And Andy, this is an interesting story because they've been trying to do this for years, and that is making Washington, D.C. The 51st state. Tell us, there's a lot to get into on this. Where do you want to start?
Well, I'll start with the fact that it's unlikely it's going to happen. Even though they passed it in the House, because Democrats do control the House and all you need is a civil majority, you need 60 votes in the Senate to get past the filibuster. And 10 of those votes are Republicans. The Democrats have 50 votes in the Senate, but it's not even clear that all Democrats will vote for D.C. statehood. And there's a very simple reason that Republicans don't want this, is that D.C. is a predominantly Democratic city and predominantly African-American. And they will vote Democrat more reliably than Republican in the city. They have for the last however many years. Republicans don't want to lose two seats in the Senate and make them less powerful, so they are going to vote against this. It's pretty simple. But the flip side of that story is that we fought a Revolutionary War back in 1776 because Americans had taxation, but they didn't have any representation. And we, as a country, think that's pretty important, that if you're going to be taxed, you have some representative in Congress to say for you why you are either for or against that. The people who live in Washington, D.C. do not have that. They have no say, no voice in Congress, and they're pretty tired of it. Most people, especially who don't live here, if you're in Colorado, you think of Washington, D.C. as just the pretty buildings from the Capitol to the White House, but it's far more than that. That is just a tiny sliver of Washington, D.C. The rest of it has several hundred thousand people who live and work here and pay federal taxes just like you do in Colorado, and they don't get to have any say on where that money goes in Congress, and they want to change it.
For our listeners that may not know, let's get a brief history on what the filibuster will do. I mean, obviously, Republican senators may resort to a filibuster. That tool is in their tool belt. What would that do, and obviously create the fight to make this happen?
Well, there doesn't seem to be much stomach even from a couple of Democrats in the Senate from getting rid of the filibuster. But the filibuster means you need a supermajority in the Senate to even get to a vote. You know, it's a running joke in Washington that you never have a vote in the Senate. You have a vote to take a vote in the Senate. And that first vote is, it's called cloture, which is a fancy way of saying 60 people in the Senate agree that you can at least debate and vote on this thing. Doesn't necessarily mean that those 60 people are going to vote for it, but they just say, okay, we're going to let you have an argument and vote on it. And so that's where we are with this bill. So it's going to go from the House to the Senate, where they will have a vote and say, hey, we have 60 votes here to even get this to a vote later on. If I were a betting man, I would bet a whole lot of money that the answer to that is no, because there aren't 10 Republicans who are going to say yes, and that's what they need to get to 60 votes.
It will definitely be interesting. The other story I noticed that you're following is obviously the electric car push, the EV charging station. This is kind of an interesting story because, I mean, these types of things are going to be coming out of Washington more and more. Talk about what Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg talked about today in installing those vehicle charging stations.
Well, one of the big problems with electric vehicles is they only go so far, and then you're going to go plug them in and sit and wait for them to recharge again. Now, they're really good if you're just driving around your local city and you can plug it in every night. That's not a problem, and you never have another bill for gasoline. But if you're doing a big cross-country trip, it's going to be a little harder because those charging stations are hard to find. So what President Biden and Secretary Buttigieg and the Transportation Department want to do is basically use government money, your tax dollars, to fund these electric charging stations in various places along interstate highways so there are more of them and encourage more people to buy electric cars. The problem is the people who own gas-guzzling cars, the old-fashioned ones, are saying, well, why are you using my taxes to pay for people who want to get electric cars? And Pete Buttigieg had a really good answer for it. He said back in the 1930s during Franklin Roosevelt trying to rebuild the country on the New Deal, Back then, there weren't very many airports in this country. You could not fly from one place to another, and the federal government invested in airports. They built these airports for private organizations, private plane owners, private airlines, so they had a place to land and carry people. That was a lot of tax dollars spent on it, but you and I are both reaping the benefit of it because we can fly pretty much anywhere in the country because of that investment. Joe Biden, the president, and the transportation secretary want to do the same thing with electric cars by saying, let's invest some tax dollars here, and the bottom line will be a good thing for everyone because eventually we'll get rid of fossil fuel cars and have more efficient, less polluting electric vehicles.
Okay, we'll leave it at that. Excellent information on both stories. Thanks for the time, as always, Andy.
My pleasure. Thanks.